Podcast for Chapter 6, Section 2, Discussion of Industrial Revolution. Question 1, how did railroads change the country? Think of all the ways. Here's what I would like you to think about. First, how the railroads were so instrumental in leading to booms in other industries that will become so much a part of the discussion of Industrial Revolution. Examples, think of all the steel that the railroads demanded to lay all the railroad track that will develop after the Civil War. There's going to be some statistics in your textbook and on the Crash Course series about how much track was put down across this country. So railroads and the steel industry, railroads basically caused initially this huge boom in the mass production of steel. Same thing with timber for the railroad ties, copper for the railroad spikes, the quarry, the gravel for the bed upon which the railroad ties will lay. All of those things, the coal to fire the engines for the railroad locomotives themselves, the steel for the building of the trains themselves, all of that stuff is going to spike tremendously as a result of the building of the railroads. Not to mention the railroad time and the cities that will be built along the railroads that will lead to a construction boom and all of those kinds of things. The other way, obviously, that people think about railroads changing the country is the ability now for people to transport things and themselves all over the country. So now that the railroads are transcontinental and connect most of the country, now goods manufactured in the eastern part of the country can be transported to people in the western part of the country as that population grows. So railroads are also a supplier of things, but initially a huge demander of all kinds of things related to Industrial Revolution, which leads to booms in those industries. Question 2, the sketchy practices. Early on, the railroads did a lot of non-competitive things. They price fixed, meaning railroads who should have been in competition with one another were setting rates at the same inflated level to gouge consumers and small businesses. Okay, they called those pools typically in the railroad realm. Rebates were another thing that the railroads were accused of doing, giving all kinds of benefits to certain companies, bigger companies who would cut a deal to have their stuff shipped from point A to point B, while other smaller players were being charged much higher rates. If there was only one railroad company to deal with in some kind of, you know, place where there wasn't tremendous connection or only one line that connected it to a major route, then those rates were typically considerably higher than they were where there was more competition. So really the first efforts, question 3, to reduce the corruption of the railroads is through which you'll read about in the textbook, something called the Granger movements, which were basically farmers beginning to organize themselves politically to do something about what they thought were very unfair railroad shipping rates. And also really amongst the first government attempts to regulate railroads or regulate any business for that matter is the Interstate Commerce Act, which creates the Interstate Commerce Commission, where government attempts to be able to control the rates that railroads will charge. So early on, railroads were making a ton of money hand over fist, and then small businesses, consumers really felt like they were getting the short end of the stick. So they organized and got some political movement behind themselves, and ultimately led to some regulation of what railroads could charge. And question number 4, and I know this is kind of challenging for some of us because we don't have a great understanding of how economics work, but as you read that little segment in the textbook, so much money was being loaned out and so much money was being invested through these new things called corporations that were formed to help build the railroads, that ultimately, the railroads were overbuilt, much like we saw If you paid any attention, maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe it's been about 10 years ago now, so many houses were being built in this country. Way too many houses were being built. Too much money was being loaned to build houses that no one was ever going to live in. And eventually, the market crashed, and it led to an enormous financial calamity in this country and nearly a second Great Depression. Well, there was a huge economic downturn in the 1890s, the greatest one that the country had seen in its history to that particular point, and it revolved mainly around the same idea. There was so much overbuilding of railroads and so much money loaned out that when those railroads now were becoming more competitive because so many of them were being built, the railroad companies weren't making as much money, and therefore they couldn't pay on their loans to the banks, which meant many of the banks went belly up in this country because of all the money they loaned to the railroads. If banks don't exist, economic activity comes to a halt. A bunch of banks failed. That means there were less people to loan money out to other businesses for other types of industry. You got a massive increase in unemployment because there weren't any jobs being created. And as a result, you had what's referred to as the Panic of 1893, which lasted there for a couple of years until a lot of the excesses could work their way through the economy. So anytime there's a tremendous overbuild of things, and we'll see it again in the late 1920s leading up to the Great Depression, frequently that will lead to an economic calamity.